Broadcasting from the Stewart Title Studio on Broadway in Tucson, Arizona, you are now tuned in to The Mark Bishop Show, discussing life and business with guests from all over the world. And now your host, Mark Bishop.
And now on The Mark Bishop Show, I would like to introduce to you rather a very interesting gentleman who's started a brand new business in Tucson, Arizona, and it caught my eye because I'd actually never heard of or seen of this before when it comes to travel. I'm not necessarily referring to a typical travel agency either. You may have come across it under the name of Truvail Travel. It's truvailtravel.org. That's www.truvailtravel.org. And Truvail means we are a lucky travel find for you. Would you believe that? So, I'd like to welcome along Mr. Paul Hardison. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Afternoon, wherever we are. You have started this. First of all, you're from where? Let's tell us where you're from.
Well, originally I'm from Davenport, Iowa. That's where I was born and raised. And promptly left Iowa after that. I was served in the Navy for almost 5 years, enlisted, and then went to college, then went to graduate school, and then went to be a professor at the University of North Dakota until I basically decided that I wanted to do something else with my time. And that's what landed me here.
Right. And was that the thought of travel or opening a travel concern?
You know, as far as Truvail goes and myself, I call it an unexpected journey in a lot of ways, because if you would have asked me prior to 2017 that I was going to be doing this, I would have said you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on academic sabbatical down in New Mexico, and I had a colleague in New York who contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested in taking over basically the remnants of a previous business. And I said yes. And then once I dug into it, I realized that it needed to be reformulated as far as its mission and what it was going to do. And that's really what turned into Truvail and the focus on small group travel. And
right.
So we've been building that up since then.
Okay. And I also read that too, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But we're talking two areas, aren't we? We're talking Tucson in Arizona and New York.
Yes. I'm here, obviously, and we have a partner in New York City. So Tucson's going to be our headquarters.
Okay.
Period. New York, I say we have a presence there because we've done some day trips there.
Mm-hmm.
One of our partners is there, so we can build that presence also.
Yes, I was looking at your site online, which is a very nice site, by the way. Those day trips around in New York look quite good.
Yes.
So they were fun. But also, it's 3,000 miles over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, although you're going to be global regardless, but it's good to have somebody also running things over there as well, I would imagine, because of the geographical advantages and so on.
Absolutely.
So who are we? I mean, what is the Truvail vision?
Well, when it comes to me, I mean, I have my own personal story about travel and its impact on me. But for Truvail, I can summarize it in one sentence, and that is our vision is to connect people to the world. And the reason we came with that is really there's a paradox in the world today in some respects, in the sense that we're more connected than ever before, primarily by our phones and our electronics. We can talk to people around the world instantly, which is fabulous. But in a lot of ways, in society and in culture, we don't really talk to each other very much or very well. And so the idea for Truvail is we want to do our little part to bring people together, to connect people so we understand each other better, whether that's our neighbor, you know, over
mm-hmm,
on
mm-hmm.
Craycroft, or whether it's somebody in Ireland or in Vietnam or in the Cook Islands.
Right.
And that encompasses many different things, not just talking to people, but understanding the history, understanding their cultures.
Their cultures, right.
The food and such. So there's a lot to learn. And, of course, the nature. And since I'm a science guy, I kind of like the natural aspect of ecology and the natural world.
Yes, I was going to say you'd be leaning towards that. That's what makes this, it is unusual, but unusual in a nice way for the right reasons. Natural environments of our planet are concerned here. So we're looking at Truvail as a small group travel hosting company that is dedicated to transforming the travel industry. How? Well, through meaningful and immerse travel experiences. Now, you're building, when you start something like this, you've personally done an awful lot of travel yourself, correct?
Yeah, since I was in the Navy, absolutely.
Right, but that's not so much, you know, join the Navy to see the world and only see a few ports or anything. You did get around.
Right, but a lot of my travel came after the Navy, actually. But
I was going to say, yes, on a private life.
Yeah, the Navy sort of introduced me to travel around the world, but then it kind of took a break while I went to college and such, and then it certainly reemerged.
So, any favorite places straight off the bat, wherever you've traveled in the world, that really got you excited about wanting to share these places with other people?
In 2016, when I took my very first small ship sail in the Caribbean, that was the experience, and that was probably associated with all the big changes in my life, moving to, deciding to leave academia, deciding to consider a different career. And I remember when I was in St. Martin, and I was looking at this classic sailing ship, which I had never done before. I mean, I've been to Hawaii dozens of times for my research, but I'd never been to the Caribbean. And I thought, well, hey, you know, maybe it would be good to go someplace different. And if anything, the Caribbean is closer. But once I went there, I absolutely fell in love with the Caribbean because we island hopped, went to different islands. I promptly bought a comprehensive history book about the Caribbean that I went through, and I just absolutely love that part of the world.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? When you're in America, if you don't do the Caribbean, you're nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, myself from Australia, of course, the Pacific Islands, but we're a long way away from here, and it's nothing nicer than those warm waters and those beautiful see-through, gorgeous colored waters onto white sand and so on. Oh, it's lovely. I love the Caribbean. You're an experienced traveler. Now, you've spanned the globe through your course of life so far. I think it was 35 trips to Hawaii, or internationally to a variety of European countries. This is England and France and Italy, Spain, Germany, Romania. You've been to the Middle East and Israel and Jordan, Asia and Singapore, Mexico, and the big time Caribbean, as we were talking about. And now you're in a position to do what? Do you want people to see all of those places, or are you finding that specializing in small groups that Trouvé does, they don't want to go to those places? Or where do people want to go today?
Well, people have their own bucket list. And what we want to do for our signature trips is have a variety and flexibility that will cater to as many people as possible. So right now we have about 9 trips available, but that's certainly going to expand. We're investigating Cuba, Japan, for example, Germany, and Africa actually is a big one. I actually get approached by a fair number of companies in Africa to partner with them. So that's something we're definitely going to do. So we're going to want to do 2 things. For the people who already travel, help them travel to where they want to go and have that small group experience. But a rather long-term goal that I have, and it may be very hard, but I don't tend to shy away from challenges, is I would actually like to find a way to try to convince people who don't travel to give it a shot, to experience it, because there is that part of the populace that just does not travel very much. It might be for personal reasons, it might be due to money, it might be due to a variety of things, but get them to consider it and to try it at least once. I have a colleague in my BNI chapter who doesn't travel, and he says he does that on purpose. But, you know, people have different reasons why they don't travel, especially out of their own country. Language barriers, safety concerns.
I think safety today would be a big one.
Right. And just logistics, it's a bit more involved. I mean, when I went to Romania, they lost my luggage for 5 days. It was great. The airline. So, you know how that goes. Really try to convince some people to really give it a try, because it really does broaden your perspective. You naturally learn a lot when you go someplace else that you've never been before, especially a different country. And we think it really does improve quality of life, and especially understanding each other. So we really want to do that.
Okay, so, you know, as a PhD, I look back at your, your chief executive officer of Trouvé, and as a PhD, your whole background, active planetary scientist, world-class scientific research on main belt asteroids, their compositions, and the information that can tell us about the early solar system. Also, you are well known as a foodie. and you have a foodie trademark and blog called Astro Foodie. How's that doing?
I'm actually building a new website for that, so that's okay. Kind of in process. That's sort of taken a little bit of a backseat because I can only do so much, but I just bought astrofoodie.com, actually, so I'm going to build up that website and kind of integrate it and connect it with Truve.
Cool.
So there's a way. I'm just going to interconnect all these things.
Well, that'll be good because your entrepreneurial drive and enthusiasm. I think this lobster restaurant, the upscale lobster restaurant that you speak of, the franchise concept, is that going to be involved with that too?
We'll see. I have a colleague in Maine who owns a direct-to-consumer lobster company, Mark Morrell at getmainlobster.com, and we connected via Twitter, of all places. And he brought up the idea, and I developed a proposal to investigate it using an architectural firm up in Scottsdale that I found that I really liked.
Right.
The idea is to open the concept restaurant in Tucson, because Tucson has not much in the way of lobster.
Not much in the way of fish, period. I mean, yeah. We are in the desert, you
know. Right, exactly.
I miss it terribly.
But the idea is, you know, get it to work here and then franchise it out across the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of stalled at the moment, but that's still...
Well, it's on the back burner.
Right, right.
It'll be there. So, okay, now you're a founding partner. And you're the actual CEO of Truve. Jasmine Jourdain, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, she's the other founding partner.
Yes.
Or are there more than two?
No, it's just us two.
Just you two. Ms. Jourdain currently serves as vice president. She's the director and registered representative for New York asset manager, Barron Capital. So she works there while building on this with you. Her business and travel experiences are quite extensive as well. Uh-huh. And they're helping Truve forge forward with its development and operational strategies. She's on the board as a member of ASPR of New York, the Dream Project, and has been very involved with GMHC of New York, the Felix Global Giving, and the Helping Hands Foundation. Is this where the connection to be a not-for-profit comes in?
No, not really. That's just what Jasmine does on her own, her own interests. And we met in New York on Long Island, and we were reconnected by Truve, and that's when this all developed.
Right, right. Okay, so, well, world travel for Jasmine has been her education and passion, apparently, since her formative high school years. And she was raised in the South Bronx, attended the Bronx High School, selected for prestigious position of U.S. Youth Ambassador, and has traveled extensively to locales such as Russia, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. So she's been around a little bit as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Loves travel, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned Valley Stream before. That's where my wife actually comes from, from Long Island originally. So there's a bit of a connection. James Mueller, he's a trip host. What would he do? What does James do?
Actually, James is the host and expert for our Ireland and Isle of Man trips. And it's kind of... it's strange how life works sometimes. Jim actually was a student in my department at the University of North Dakota.
Wow. And, small world, isn't it?
I know. And I had no idea he did what he did. He's a Celtic dance instructor. I had no idea he did that.
Wow, that's not easy.
Right. Mm. And he judges dance competitions. And then, you know, of course, I left. I came to Tucson, and then I connected with him and realized he did these tours to Ireland, and then we connected, and it was a natural fit for him to join us. And so he does Ireland and Isle of Man. We're also going to investigate Scotland. And actually, a really interesting idea is Barbados. There is an Irish influence in the Caribbean.
Really?
And possibly doing that in Barbados. So, and that fits into my interest because develop more Caribbean options is something that I like implicitly.
Well, my grandparents initially came from Manchester in England, and it's always been on my goal to try and visit Europe. It's been on my bucket list to do Ireland and Scotland. Mm-hmm. And being a golfer, and my wife is a golfer as well, needless to say, one of our dreams would be Andrews and some of those other big ones over there. I believe it's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So do you get people like that who perhaps ring you up and say, look, you know, I've always wanted to go to Scotland or Ireland, and this is what has forced you to say, well, we've got to start doing some trips here now.
You know, for most of our current trips, we have, I have chosen most of the destinations for one reason or another, but I do get people suggesting different locations. So it's kind of a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly since we are growing and there are going to be more trips around the world, I'm certainly open to doing that. And one of the big things to make it successful is to partner with somebody who's there. For example, in St. Lucia, we partner with a taxi and tour company, and they are going to be our local transportation when we have that trip to St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maine is with Get Maine Lobster, and people get to go on a lobster boating experience. So I like to make that direct connection with people who live at the destinations, and we can contribute to their economy and to their development.
That's right. So it's very good to have helping hands at the other end that maybe, you know, you're in bed with, because they're going to look after your patrons, aren't they? It's helping themselves. You've got Sarah Nolan Hardison. This is your wife.
Yes.
Sarah. Mrs. Nolan Hardison. She originates from England, has lived much of her life in New Zealand and Australia.
Yes.
What was she doing there?
In Australia?
And New Zealand, for that matter.
Well, she moved to New Zealand with her parents when she was just a child, so she grew up in New Zealand. Over in, let's see if I remember the name of the city, Tauranga.
Okay.
New Zealand. And then when she's been in Australia for 25 years after that. I think when she was 20, she went to Australia.
Right.
Over in the Brisbane area.
Okay, okay. I've had the pleasure of working in New Zealand and the North and the South Island. My son actually went to the sunniest spot on the South Island called Nelson. Mm. And that was Nelson's boarding school.
Oh, wow.
Nelson's high boarding school there. So he was at that. And we were doing a project down on Lake Wakatapu in Queenstown on the South Island. And but working out of Auckland. Yeah, it's an interesting place. And you go very north, of course, you've got the Bay of Islands in the summer, which is different. Beautiful country. Americans tend to like New Zealand, don't they?
And Australia both, yes.
Yeah, they're finding Australia now. Okay, that's good. And she's involved with the company too. So she's administration, right? She's the lady that keeps it all together.
Administration and policy. She's a very analytical person, and she has some experience in nonprofits at her job when she was in Australia. So that's been a big help.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you this. How does, when you started the company and you thought about all of this, no doubt sitting down with the missus, why a not-for-profit? Why a .org versus a traditional, let's say, travel business?
Well, this is a regular business. The website's a .org, but this is a for-profit business.
Okay. Yeah. So let us understand the difference there. Let us, so for people to understand, usually you do connect a .org with a not-for-profit.
Right. .com was currently not available, although I have been looking into that, and the .com is available at a price. So I'm going to get that eventually. So I have gone through a lot of education myself since this enterprise started up.
Right.
And it's just amazing, actually, because I had no prior business experience. I just had sort of the idea in my head of what an entrepreneur does or what it is like. And the thought came and went, and that was about it. So the last 2.5 years has been, it's like a second PhD, really. And I'm going through a very, very useful program right now that's run by a company called NewChip. They're based out of Austin, Texas, and they run a crowdfunding accelerator program. And I actually would retitle that as to be how to be a good CEO.
Okay.
And it's a 13-week course, and I'm about halfway through it. And it is really all about how to build a startup company from scratch, how to do fundraising, every vital aspect of building a company in the beginning, and what you need to know. And this has been probably the best thing that I have done to really know the issues involved in starting a company from scratch. So it's a lot of work, but it's absolutely invaluable.
Well, it's a credit to you, you know? I mean, you come from academic. Now you've come into the world of hard biz, but already you're doing wonders. So, but the difference here is also, it's how we got started in reference to raising funds to do the business in the first place. So how did that all start? How did you even turn on to trying to raise funds to open the business?
Well, we've really honestly just been bootstrapping it from the beginning. We started the company, we started the LLC, and got a couple of business credit cards and our own money. And that's what we've been using to develop it. However, that's quickly changing. I'd say this year is going to be fundamentally different than the first 2 years. We are doing a variety of things right now. We currently have a regulated crowdfunding or crowd investing campaign going.
And that's through the organization TrueCrowd, right?
Correct.
Okay. And this is where what? Anybody can invest if they want to.
Right. For crowdfunding, you don't have to be an accredited investor. You can be non-accredited as long as you meet the income requirements, which are not obtrusive or difficult. You can invest in the company. And as long as you put in at least $200, you can get a share in the company and have the possibility for a return down the road.
Down the road. Are we talking a few years?
Yes.
Yeah, of course, something has to build, right? Mm-hmm. What alternatives, what options do you have to raise funds through grants, through any other way? What can you go for there?
So the crowdfunding was number one. I just came upon an opportunity this week, actually 2 days ago, that we are eligible for an SBA loan. So we are pursuing that right now.
An SBA loan?
Small Business Administration.
Okay.
Up to $250,000, so we are pursuing that. And in addition, another colleague found me, maybe the same way you found us, who runs an LLC that can introduce startup companies to what I would consider the big, big, big investors, the family offices. So with this individual, we are putting together a $5 million investment proposal to give to his company. And what they're going to do is shop around to these family offices to find those that might be interested investing in Truvay. And a $5 million investment would be a game changer by all means.
Right.
And so I'm working on that also. So I'm working multiple angles. You know, we've been kind of scrimping along for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now's the time to get the money to really do this right. And between that and this accelerator program, and that we've really gone through the process of branding ourselves, defining our vision, defining our mission, developing our business tenets, is that we're really laying the foundation now mm-hmm. to do this right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the only way to do it. There's no shortcut
right.
to doing professionally. Let's talk about businesses. I mean, you're going to specialize. If someone was to say to you, how are you not like a normal travel agency? How would you answer that?
Well, a travel agency, they book your travel to go somewhere and then you go do it, which is fine. But we do everything in-house. We choose our trips, we create the itineraries, we provide our travel experts and hosts for each trip, and we make it very personalized. It's really a more personalized experience, and the itineraries introduce people to what it's like to live in those different places, those different countries. So they really get a feel for what it's like to be there because, you know, most people in America have really no idea what it's like to live in, say, Johannesburg, South Africa, or in Singapore, other countries if they've never been there. You know, you can read about all of this, but certainly you don't get the feel for what it's like
no.
to actually live there and really understand it because that personal connection, that direct connection is really an important part of it.
So, taking that into account, what would happen on a given day at Truvay when people have rung up and they've said, look, I'm interested in going here and there, how do you now decide whether it's 8 people, 10 people, 20 people as the group that go to this particular destination?
Well, let's take the Maine trip as an example. We're going to Maine next month. We have a long weekend in Maine. And we have been working with GetMaineLobster.com and have been doing joint marketing with them. And people have been booking this trip from around the country. We have people from Georgia, Oklahoma, North Carolina, among other places.
That's interesting. How did they find you?
Through the marketing with Get Maine Lobster.
Okay.
That has been the direct way to do it. And that's been really vital in doing this. And so they know Get Maine Lobster. They don't know Truvay, but I have been...
Right, connecting the two.
Right, bringing them together. And so, and I try to do things that really differentiate us from anybody else. For example, we did a video call with all of our travelers going to Maine about 3 weeks ago to answer any questions, to give them all the details, any updates on the itinerary.
Well, that sounds interesting. Tell us about that. How does that work?
Well, that was very easy. I just made a Zoom session, a Zoom teleconference session.
Right.
And we all connected, and then I went through the itinerary, gave some more details. They were able to ask questions and just make sure that they didn't have any uncertainties that that were lurking in the back of their head.
Right.
And
which is a big thing, isn't it, with people in travel?
Right.
You want to feel like you can trust.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's, I did not realize how much the issue of trust means in business until I actually have gotten into business.
Right.
Because
right.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people and organizations out there that are not quite so trustworthy.
Well, that's an understatement, I can tell you, Paul, particularly in the travel world.
Yep.
It's heartbreaking for people, and it shouldn't be. Life savings gone, God knows what else. Okay, so what a clever idea. So you get on one of these Zoom things, and this case it might have been, what, 8 to 10 people or more?
We had about 10 people. Some weren't able to make it, but
okay.
It was did about a half an hour.
Right.
And it was I did a video presentation of the itinerary,
mm-hmm.
and they listened and they asked questions, and it was all pretty straightforward.
And do you lead this particular one?
I did, yes.
You go on this one?
Yes.
Okay. Do you go on every one?
Yeah, almost. Jim Mueller, of course, does Ireland at Isle of Man, and all the others, yes, more or less, it's me and my wife. But of course, as we grow, that's not sustainable.
No.
I can't go to 33 places a year.
You're going to run the joint.
I know, exactly. So, but it's a matter of then. What's very important is hiring travel experts like Jim Mueller,
mm-hmm.
who know the destination, who are very personable, who we can trust to do it right, because we don't want anybody to have a bad experience. Travel is inherently difficult and challenging the farther away you go from home because just of the unknowns, because of the logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking that uncertainty away and that fear away from people as much as possible
mm-hmm.
makes the experience better.
Let me try and understand what a group thing is. Let's say there's 8 to 10 of us. We're going to Maine. We're doing all of this. You know what I mean by sub-travel companies that people don't like? They feel like they're crowded on a bus and they're all rushed here. They're rushed there. They're rushed this. Do you give people time? I mean, what's sort of the layout of a trip with you, with Truvé?
I think Maine's a good example here, so let's focus on that one.
All right.
So we have 15 people. We try to do is we try to keep this at 20 people or fewer.
Okay.
Typically 5 at least, up to 20.
5 to 20 seems to be a good number.
Right, right.
Okay.
And, you know, you have to, obviously with volume you make more money, and doing 2 people, for example, is hard to do mm-hmm. unless you charge a lot more. So that's why 5 is a good number. But for Maine, everybody arrives on June 7th. They check into the hotel that evening, and we have a welcome reception for them. And they get some free appetizers and hors d'oeuvres, and we have a welcome package for everybody that's personalized for Maine. So they're going to get some lobster paraphernalia. They're going to get a book on the history of Maine, and everybody's going to be able to get acquainted. So then Saturday morning, we have our lobster boating experience. So we go down to Portland, go to the pier. And so we have to use 2 lobster boats because we have 17 people, 15 travelers plus 2 hosts. And people are going to get to go out on the Atlantic and learn about what it's like to actually be in the lobster biz.
So that'd be exciting.
Right. That's going to be fun. And after that, people are going to have some free time in the afternoon to stroll around downtown Portland on their own. So it's not like we develop the itinerary, but you have to have some free time in there.
Right.
Because, you know, regimenting it too much can be tiring, and some people want to have a break.
It's not only that. It's human nature, isn't it? Just to get away from each other for a little while.
Right.
You know, it's only natural.
Yeah. And there are 2 museums that we're going to go visit Saturday and Sunday, Tate House and Victoria Mansion in Portland. And that's all set up. We're going to get a private tour at both locations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be nice. Monday is going to be a lighthouse cruise up in Bath, Maine at the Maine Maritime Museum. So that's going to be actually a 3-hour a cruise through the nearby rivers and to see a variety of lighthouses in Maine. So that's going to be nice.
Well, it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I guess the foodie thing comes in because the lunches and dinners really highlight the local cuisine. And in this case, there's going to be the seafood. And so having a good selection of restaurants from around Portland is something that I had a good time putting together.
And you've been there all up and down that trip, what, a couple of times now, and you know it
right.
Fairly well. It's interesting. I wonder how many Arizonans are going compared to all these others you talked about from the Midwest and all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people, of course, come to Arizona from all across America, and we get a lot of the East Coast and a lot of the Midwest.
Right.
So you would think they'd love to go back and do that. This is the Mark Bishop Show on the Business Radio X Network, and we broadcasting from the Stuart Title building, where our studio is on Broadway. And my special guest is Paul Hardison. He is the chief executive officer and founding partner of a brand new, exciting, very different, I'm not going to call it travel agency, travel experience called Truvé. You're lucky to find Truvé. And they look after individual people and they look after businesses as well. And because it's brand new into Tucson and Tucson means business, and this is exactly what Paul is conjuring up here.
You are currently listening to The Mark Bishop Show, broadcasting from the Stuart Title Studio on Broadway in Tucson, Arizona. Back to the show.
Let's talk about the name, Truvé. It sounds French to me.
It is.
Okay, so how did you think of the name in the first place?
Actually, the credit for that goes to my wife. We were thinking about the name, obviously, in the beginning, and she came up with Truvé. And being that the you know, the informal meaning of Truvé is a lucky find.
A lucky find,
and,
right.
That made perfect sense, and everybody liked it, so we went with it.
So the size of small group travel industry. Now, we just talked about the main ship as an example. You've got some, I'd like to mention at this stage your website. So give me the address again.
TruvéTravel.org.
TruvéTravel.org. Now, it's a nice site, and there's a lot on it, and you also depict all of the different trips there. Mm-hmm. All right. And being from down under as I am, the Cook Islands are a beautiful place to go.
Yes.
You haven't been to a place called Vanuatu yet, have you?
Nope.
Okay. You went to school or would have been the New Hebrides, which is now Vanuatu. It's 84 islands in the archipelago. Mm-hmm. And lobsters there, or if you like, poor man's crayfish, are as big as his room. But there's places where man has not been yet, you know, and beautiful spots. So there are hidden places around the world that I would think Truvé is going to uncover.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people. The company vision, how did you determine that is what you wanted to focus on would be it down the track? Did you feel that you were on a winner with the design or the goal of the company, or are you thinking, gee, we might have to change lanes a little bit later on?
You know, a lot of startup companies are very good at the describing what we do, but not why we do it. And that's kind of how we started. You know, we're going to do small group travel. This is what we do. But we really didn't think about why we do it. So I went through the exercise, thanks to NewChip, the crowdfunding accelerator. And I sat down and started to think about, well, why are we doing this? And that's really when, and this sort of blends my desire to build this business with sort of my altruistic side, is that the whole issue of connecting people. And as I mentioned before, that kind of a paradox is that we're more connected now than ever before, but a lot of times people really have a bit of a difficulty talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reasons for that. Cultural differences, political differences, social differences, what have you. But to me, that makes it more important for people to actually talk. I mean, you don't have to agree about everything to talk to each other and to respect each other and to understand each other. You can certainly be your own person. But people do need to talk. You're never going to resolve conflicts if you do not talk.
No, no communication. Nothing happens.
All right. And so that's really where the vision came up. And, of course, the mission is what we do to implement the vision. And it flowed from that. And I like how this went, and everybody likes it in our group, so we went with it.
That's great. That is great. Now, it'd be fair to say, too, that you've already won an award, the Reader's Choice, for the Arizona Daily Star for the small group travel category. I think that was 2018. Congratulations on that.
That was a a very interesting experience. And, you know, as far as competition goes, there are small group travel companies in the U.S., but not around Tucson. And, of course, in Tucson, I learned very quickly that the travel giant is Bon Voyage Travel. Everybody knows Bon Voyage. They've been around for a while. And I took it upon a little challenge to myself that, okay, maybe we can win this. Maybe they're a little lazy in the sense that they aren't expecting to lose.
No, well, they got too comfortable, you know, being the only player in town, so to speak.
Right. And so I thought to myself, well, you know, I know people around the country, and since this is a vote-based competition, I'm going to enlist my resources and see what we can do. And Sarah kept telling me that, Paul, you know, if you come in second, that's okay, you know? And I'm going, you know, I think we did all right. And we ended up winning, so that was kind of nice, even though, you know, we're still very nascent and such. It was a nice little thing to happen.
Yeah, very good. That's well done. Well, it gives you a little pat on the back. It gives you that little bit of, you know, impetus to, we're doing something right here. We're going to stay on track.
I don't shy away from competition.
Small groups, expert guides, personalized service, unique experiences. Trivé guides you to the best of each extraordinary destination. Their host plan is to lead the way for an exciting and safe travel experience. I love to hear that because I want to know I'm in good hands. Anything goes wrong, we're going to get home, or there's medical, or there's this, or there's that. A lot of this comes from good partners on the ground that you talk about.
Right.
And you're building all of those now. Do you think that the travel experiences and what Trivé is going to offer is going to sort of hit mainstream travelers, or is it going to attract all sorts? Is there an age demographic only? Is it everybody? Could it be everybody? What?
Well, I think this could be everybody, but it's the way it's starting out is our predominant traveler so far has been, I guess, two groups. The baby boomer crowd is one, and women, I would generally say 40 years old and up, have been a particular demographic that's popped out. However, I don't want to restrict to just that group of people. That goes back to the idea that you really want to get more people to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger crowd, the millennials and such, is going to be a part of what we're doing too. But right now, as far as how we're starting out, the groups that have expressed interest in us the most so far have been the two that I mentioned.
You already have travel partners listed on your website. How did you develop these relationships? Were they all Paul eyeball to eyeball handshake in that place?
Yes, more or less. It has been developing a direct relationship. Of course, there are different ways that I've connected with the different companies. Mark Morrell at Get Maine Lobster, we connected through Twitter, of all places. In St. Lucia, A1 Taxi and Tour, I've met them before. I've been to St. Lucia, and I've worked with them, so I know them. And I'm trying to develop partners in Tucson. Also, we have Catalina Craft Pizza up in Catalina, and we have a pet sitting service that we just added, Casas and Critters. So the way I look at it is the more partners you can have where you actively work together, the better off you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. So that really is like offering a parcel, isn't it? It's like a package.
Yes.
You know, look after my little doggy for me in a nice hotel, perhaps.
Exactly. Anybody in Tucson who travels with us, if they need their dog or cat pet sit, well, we can help them there too.
Good idea. Very good idea. Raising money. You started out, I think, True Crowd. Yes, that's True Crowd. You didn't know what you were doing. You've launched how many weeks now? Eight?
I think we're in week seven or eight, yeah.
Week seven or eight? Okay. How are we doing?
Well, we've raised about a little shy of $11,000 right now, although we have another investment of $5,000 that's pending. So just say about $15,000. So the goal, I mean, the minimum for this was $10,000, so we've met the minimum, but the minimum is I don't a technicality because we can make up to 107,000. That's the goal, is to make that much so we can bring that into the company.
And this is through TrueCrowd.
Right. It's one of the crowdfunding platforms.
One of the crowdfunding platforms online that people can go to. So if you're listening now and you think, you know, I wouldn't mind having a couple of shares in this, as I did, because I just want to put my toes in the water to get started and see where we're going to go, you're welcome to. And all you've got to do is what, Paul?
Well, go to the TrueCrowd website, and you can find us listed with about 8 other companies that are doing the same thing. And you just have to create an account. Say you're going to, and how many shares you're going to invest. It's $100 per share. Mm-hmm. And you have to start with a minimum of 2. And it's pretty straightforward. You can pay by wire transfer or check, and you'll get a confirmation from TrueCrowd. And it's a pretty simple, seamless operation.
And what's the objective? If I'm an investor in a little startup called Trevay, what's going to happen down the track? And without being silly, what could one expect back? And how does it work on the return?
Well, for this particular offering, the repayment multiple is a 4-time repayment. So if somebody puts in $200, everything goes well, we grow and expand, they'll get $800 back down the road. So
in one lump sum or over a period of payments?
One lump sum.
Okay, that's how that works. All right. So whether you've got 200, 5,000, maybe 20,000, what other benefits does an investor get?
Well, for crowdfunding, it's pretty much you're putting money into the company just to get a return.
All right.
But the way I look at our investors, I want to have a personal relationship with each and every investor. I want them to feel like a part of the family. And that's one thing that goes along with making this a very personal company is
right.
I want sort of to grow the Trevay family, whether it's people who travel with us, whether it's people who invest with us, whether it's people who support our vision. Is I think having those personal relationships is absolutely vital. You know, the one thing that has bothered me since I started this whole enterprise is the issue of customer service. You know, everybody has bad customer service on occasion, but it's way too prevalent in my mind. And for some reason, some companies forget about the service in customer service.
Well, they do. It's absolutely pathetic out there, and they wonder why.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that this never happens to us. One way or the other, whether we're, our revenue is $30,000 a year or $30 million, every person is going to be treated like they should. And that's something that I'm never going to, you know, compromise on.
That's a very good thought process. And I hope you stick with that. I really do. Use of funds. Someone walks in tomorrow and says, you know what? I believe in what you're trying to do. Here's $1 million. How would you spend it?
Well, get a commercial office space. That's number one.
You think you need that, a bricks and mortar.
Right. It doesn't have to be big to start out with.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a mistake to dump a lot of money into a big
yes.
building right away.
Yes.
Effective marketing, and I say effective because marketing without being effective is a waste of money.
Of course.
And that's a big lesson I've learned is that there are a lot of ways to throw money away in marketing and not get a return. And
mm-hmm.
so that's important. So a really well-developed, integrated marketing campaign that's both local mm-hmm. in Tucson plus national, because our audience is basically the U.S. and Canada to start out with.
Yeah. I mean, the tentacles have to go everywhere, don't they?
Right. So a combination of online, like Google Ads, possibly social media, coupled with really well-targeted marketing in the Tucson area.
Yeah, good, in the local area. That's important. There's lots of good things you can do. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. What about Trevay's plan for growing? Let's talk about the Tucson metro region. I've noticed you started to get more local trips. This surprised me a little. I thought, I haven't seen anybody do this before. So why? Why bother about local trips in Tucson for local people? Or is it for visitors?
It could be for both, but primarily for visitors. That's kind of the second leg of what we're trying to do. We've got the big signature trips that we've talked about. Now we're talking about the day trips. We have just started a collaboration with Visit Tucson. We are now a partner with them. And we are developing...
I'm sorry, who was that again?
Visit Tucson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. We are developing thematic day trips for visitors to Tucson. We have one up the Kitt Peak National Observatory. That's the astronomy theme that, of course, I have a bit of a background in. And we're doing one down to the Sonoyta Wineries. And I'm in the process of developing a culinary day trip to highlight the different cuisines of Tucson.
Yeah, what's big here is that the...
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And about three or four other thematic day trips in Tucson where visitors and businesses will be able to choose from, or we can do a custom trip based on what they want. And customizing everything, I think, is very important because that adds the flexibility to, if we don't do something they want, well, you can customize something. It just takes a little bit more effort, but we should do that.
Right. And do you lead all these local things, too?
We just started, so the workload hasn't popped up yet. But as of right now, yes.
Oh, you're incredible, I tell you. Let me ask you, why Tucson? Why the corporate office? And why did you make Tucson, you know, home as far as Trouvé is concerned?
Well, that's actually tied up to how I ended up here. And that's because of the Planetary Science Institute, which is where I still am affiliated with and still do some work with. So that's what brought me to Tucson. But since I've been here, Tucson is the most eclectic place I've ever lived as far as the population, the people, the diversity and cultures. I like it here, and I think Tucson is ripe for diversification of businesses, expansion of businesses, and I think it just makes sense to have a West Coast home also, in addition to our presence in New York City.
Since you started the company, how many trips have you done now?
We've done a South Caribbean sail last August, and we did a Napa Valley weekend in November of last year.
What was the South Caribbean sail? Give me an idea.
That was a partial charter where we went from St. Lucia down to Grenada, like the sail I did in 2016, actually. And so it was basically an island hopping adventure.
Yeah, on a sail ship, per se?
Yes.
Oh, lovely. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it's...
Give me an idea of what sort of money would that cost somebody who'd like to do it?
Chartering, well, for an individual, for, let's say, a 12-day sail, about... $3,000 and change per person.
Mm-hmm. And getting there is the flying. That's
right.
About it.
Right.
Okay. Which they do on their own, or does Trouvé do that as well?
Right now, we do not include airfare with our price.
That's up to the people. And you meet possibly at the airport. Is that how you do that?
Right. We greet them. I really would like to find a way to include airfare eventually. I haven't found a way to do it fairly yet because people are flying in from different locations.
Yeah,
some people use miles. But, you know, as we grow, if we can develop, for example, some relationships with airlines, maybe there might be a way to do something there. So I keep my eyes open. But right now we don't include airfare. But everything else is as all-inclusive as possible once you get to the destination.
Now, I think what is important to make clear with your travel company versus others, there's always the popular places, the beaches, the nightclubs, the well-known names, per se. But Trouvé, this curated travel experience from must-see attractions, of course, but to specialized back-road experiences, right? Because you believe in the history, the culture, and the natural beauty and cuisine of each location as well. And that, to you, gives a total feeling, understanding, and package, and a learning process of a much nicer and enjoyable trip than the old traditional way.
Yes, and I don't mean to, berate going to the beach and just lying there in Waikiki.
Like a lobster.
Right. Like, I've been to Hawaii a lot and Oahu, and Waikiki's famous, and the beach there is famous, but it's a beach basically at a city. Which is fine. I mean, I've done it. I mean, I like it. It's good. But if you really want to get a deeper understanding of a location, you have to just not do the touristy stuff. And I'm going to go use St. Lucia as an example for this one. There are resorts in the Caribbean, including St. Lucia, where you fly there, you go to the resort, you stay at the resort, you have a good time, and you go home. But the problem in my mind with that is you don't leave the resort. There's a whole island there. There's a whole culture there and a lot going on there that you just totally miss because you just stay at the resort. And I think that is a bit of a shame because there's so much richness in learning about what it's like to live on the island. And in St. Lucia, we're going to basically have an all-island experience when we do that trip every time we do it.
Right.
You're going to get to go to a 400-year-old operating cocoa plantation. You're going to get to go to operating rum distilleries. You're going to hike the Pitons in St. Lucia. You're going to go to the only active drive-in volcano in the Caribbean.
Mm.
You're going to do things where you get exposure to different aspects of the island that are inherent to it, and not just a resort that's plopped over in the northeast corner that's fabulous, okay, but there's a lot more than just that.
Oh, it sounds exciting. Now, I've got in front of me, of course, Island. We talked about that, St. Lucia. The Cook Islands down under, what's happening there with that beautiful tropical paradise?
Well, there's a reason I included the Cook Islands. And the main reason is because it is not a typical destination for Americans and Canadians. It's quite far away. It's about a six-hour flight southwest of Hawaii, or thereabouts. So it's a ways away, but it's Americans don't go there typically. So I want to really develop that niche in the American market for Cook Islands. And I like the tropics anyway, so I wanted to add a South Pacific destination in addition to Hawaii. So we have Hawaii also, but the Cook Islands also. And this is a way, as we continue to develop a global presence. And I want to add Australia and New Zealand as well as other Asian destinations. But the Cook Islands, we have a three-island adventure there for a week. Go to Rarotonga, Atiu, and Atutaki.
And how long does that take to go from Hawaii, as an example?
Flying is about 6 hours.
It's about 6 hours to the Cook Islands that way. And from Australia again?
Oh, actually, it's probably shorter, I think.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I haven't been there personally. I've been to so many other islands, of course, around the country, but not the Cook. And I thought it was a lot shorter than that. But as you say, it could be an island hop for a bit later on. You're coming through the top, and of course, you can go on to Australia and New Zealand from there if you want to. Be fascinating. I want to talk about the crowdfunding before we go. The campaign, in total, when did you start? How long have you been going?
This has actually been going on for a while, and it's kind of been just dragging along. And I just decided in mid-April that I want to sort of jumpstart this, and I want to get it done. So beginning about third week of April, I developed this 70-day challenge, is that I want to raise all of the money by the end of June, kind of June 30th as the let's raise all of the money. Because frankly, as a startup, we need access to capital. We need money if we're going to be able to do anything. So I want to get it done and get it accomplished, and so we can move on to the next step. Because if we get the $107,000 with this, then we can go on to $1 million Reg CF raise after that. And that would give us very critical resources where we can actually have an expansive marketing campaign. We can actually have a commercial office where we can actually continue to develop the foundation of the business, which we really need.
Well, of course, you're going to be coming across that, I forget what it's called, but in business, you've got the graph where you get to a level of, it's all right to start slowly. It's all right to build the foundations of the house very solidly. And you're going so far and so fast, and then all of a sudden, the graph of income starts to supersede the graph of being able to deliver. And then you've got that issue to worry about.
Right.
So you don't want to go 100 miles an hour, do you?
No, you know, it's very, you have to be strategic in how you expand. You can't just, you know, like you said, if you expand too quickly, that could cause problems in its own right. But I think this is a very scalable business. That's why between, you know, the crowdfunding campaign now for $107K and this potential $5 million through another mechanism, we can scale based on number of trips, number of destinations, how many times we go to a destination per year.
Sure.
So, but of course, the more you do, the more is involved. So it's, you know, we get the money we need, we'll be able to grow, and I want to do it smartly, though.
All right, well, but, you know, 107, I mean, next minute you could jump to 305. If you go to a mill, it's a bonus. You've got this other unique thing going on right now that could be exciting for you. You really want a locale place, bricks and mortar, as we call it, for, I guess, for show purposes, for credibility. You're not a fly by night. Bit difficult working out of an office per se. That might be too small, nowhere to go. I mean, if you've got the right place, you can do all sorts of functions. You can do all sorts of things that really would help the cause overall. And ideally, maybe you can do a deal with somebody that has got an empty place that they're not renting right now and want to help out, maybe. You never know.
Right, absolutely.
Trade off some shares or barter or something. I don't know how you could do that. But,
right.
But anyway.
Being creative, you know, there's always room for creativity and making a deal. And that's one thing I've also learned is that almost everything is negotiable. A lot of people don't realize that when they're not in business and they don't really think about it. But most things in life and business are negotiable to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Of course they are. Well, I think it's a terrific thing, and I wish you all the best luck in the world. Let's have some communication, people. Now, I know you mentioned the website per se, but can anybody call you directly if they'd like to talk to you?
Absolutely. My phone is with me, and I answer unless I'm unconscious. So.
Well, that's a very good thing, Paul, because sometimes you can't even, you know, find the CEO, never mind talk to them personally.
Oh, yeah.
And in this particular case, being a very personalized service that Trouvet is caring about, I think it's ideal that people can talk to you directly.
Right.
So your number is what?
520-300-1056.
520-300-1056.
Yes.
Okay. And that's Paul Hardison, the CEO of Trouvet. You know, the lucky find, that's what it means. My God, were we lucky to find Trouvet, darling. We've had our second honeymoon, and I tell you what. you're an inspiration.
Well, thank you.
And I wish you all the luck in the world, the team, all your team. And I think you've got something for the right reason, the right thoughts, the right spirit. And I think Trouvet is going to certainly make its name in the world of travel.
Thanks, Mark. That's
and when
cool.
It comes out of Tucson, Arizona, that's even better, huh?
Absolutely.
Paul Hardison on the Mark Bishop Show and on Tucson Means Business. He'll be there very shortly with a bunch of other business people here in town, so stay tuned.